Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello. This is a bonus episode of the podcast An Acquired Taste. And I am Bethany Watson. And you are?
Kathleen Herner.
That's all. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Martin's potato rolls.
Tell me everything.
Why are they so good?
Who is this Martin?
Bethany, you know Martin's potato rolls.
I don't know what a potato roll is.
Bethany, stop it. This is even more egregious than that time you didn't know that Dan Humphrey was a character from Gossip Girl and he was Gossip Girl.
Okay, but I thought he was the guy from You, and a listener pointed out that the same guy played both characters. So I was correct the whole time.
Penn Badgley. You know Martin's potato rolls. They are the classic potato rolls that you get from the grocery store for hamburgers. They also do hot dogs. They're just so fluffy.
Oh, they're rolls made out. I was picturing like a crepe.
No.
Like, I was like, how do you roll a potato? I thought it was like lefse.
There's just something so comforting about holding a bag full of Martin's potato rolls in your hands and you squish it down and then the smell comes out of the plastic bag. And I want a duvet made from Martin's potato. I want a mattress made from Martin's potato rolls.
What's the difference between Martin's potato rolls and King's Hawaiian sweetbread?
Sweetbread is a little bit sweeter. Potato rolls are more savory.
Oh, okay. Right on. I'm into it. What made you think of King's Hawaiian potato rolls?
I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah. Do you need to stop and eat? I just stopped and ate.
I'm okay. Okay. I just keep thinking about what it would be like to lay down on a mattress of Martin's potato rolls.
No, here's the question. Is the entire mattress like one giant roll, or is the mattress made of the rolls connected and so you have some dips down and then some high points?
Rolls connected. Yeah.
Okay, that's where the crumbs are going to get stuck. So you're going to have to clean that mattress every once in a while.
It's okay. You eat it after you're done sleeping and get a new one every day.
Look how happy you are. You're so happy.
I am.
During this Lucy Goosey bonus episode, we're going to do a couple emails. We're going to play a game called How Did They Die? I went through and I found some people who died in really dumb ways. And I'm going to make you guess how they died. And you, gentle listener, can play it at home or at work. With your coworkers as a team building exercise.
I love a good team building exercise.
I do too. Mm. Should we do emails first or should we do how they die first?
Let's do emails first, I think.
Great. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Okay. So a couple episodes ago, I propositioned Bethany to pitch a radio show to NPR with me about sort of like a Delilah style show for millennials. Also, it has the feel of Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, except we're tortured millennials. So Chicken Soup for Tortured Millennial Soul. Anyway, we got an email from Courtney and I'd like to read it.
And just a heads up, this email deals with the topic of self-harm and suicide. So if that's something that you can't listen to right now, I would say fast forward maybe 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes, and we'll meet you on the other side.
Okay. She goes, "Hi, ladies. I love you both. I love the podcast. Here's my chicken soup for the tortured soul story."
Okay.
"Mine is a true millennial story. I went off to college with a multitude of undiagnosed mental illnesses, depression being the most dominant one.
Oh.
One night, I met a guy. He was cute and interesting and 21.
Ooh.
Yes. It's very important to have a boyfriend in your first year of college who is 21 because then he can buy you alcoholic drinks."
Kathleen, that is illegal. And we would never condone underage drinking, no matter how prevailing or fun it might be. Don't do it. No. It's not good. Don't do it.
"I will forever be grateful for Brian, my 21-year-old boyfriend, when I was an 18-year-old college student." Anyway, Courtney continues. "We started hanging out a little bit, but nothing was serious. He was over my dorm room when he discovered cuts on my wrist. I got defensive and I started yelling at him. And he stopped and he gave me a big hug and he asked me if he could take me on a drive to show me something. We drove for about an hour and then he pulls into a cemetery and we park and he walks me to his dad's grave and he tells me that this is the only way he gets to visit his dad and asks if this is how I wanted him to spend time with me too.
Ooh.
He walks back to the car and gives me some alone time and I talk to his dad. I cry and I think. That was the day a cute college guy saved my life. That was also the day I knew that he was the one. We got married 9 years ago. This isn't a happily ever after story, though. My mental illnesses continue to be a struggle, and I'm getting the help that I need, but I have not attempted suicide since. Life can be hard, but I know that I have him to lean on and help me through. And while I may not be happily ever after, happiness is a big part of my life now. And back then, I did not think that it was possible. Courtney.
Wow. Wow.
That's very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm so glad that you two found each other when you clearly needed to find him. So that's awesome.
You know, I like love stories that have mental illness intertwined in the story that doesn't end in people breaking up.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's really refreshing.
I like it a lot too. It's just like a part of life. It's not the reason that something does or doesn't work. It's just like, oh yeah, and also.
Yeah.
You know.
And we work with it. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see.
Will you read the email from Caitlin?
Yes. You're making me read this one, aren't you? Because makes me uncomfortable.
I know. I'm pushing you. I know you're uncomfortable, but you got to push your boundaries, girlfriend. Right. Go ahead.
This is from Taste Bud Caitlin, who I love. I'm not saying bad. I'm not like about her. I'm about the topic. Okay. Caitlin says, I'm on Zoom with Taste Bud's Susan and Krista. What's up? And
hey, girls.
The subject of toilets and bathrooms came up for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, someone told me once that they were afraid of toilets. This was told to me, I think, in 2015. I still think of this. I wonder what they were afraid of. Caitlin, you should have dug deeper. Like, are they afraid to be sucked in?
Mm-hmm. Or is toilet going to eat their butt?
Right. Or is it like a germ thing? You know,
a snake is going to pop out and crawl up your anus.
Maybe a toilet broke up with them and it's just now they're like real sad. Number two, where's the best place to poop? Is a question that they were talking about. So Caitlin says, which leads to this statement, both Krista and I poop every time we go into Barnes & Noble. Is this a thing? They ask.
Yes.
Do you poop in Barnes & Noble? Are we alone on this? Apparently it's a thing. We would love some feedback. Love, Caitlin.
I'm so excited that someone is talking about this because, yes, Barnes & Noble has the best bathrooms. Best.
I will say that Barnes & Noble, they are one of the few places, at least in New York, that still has bathrooms. Most places, stores, do not have restrooms for customers. Mm-hmm. And so if you can find yourself a Barnes & Noble, I don't care what you have to do in there, that's where you're doing it.
When I first started going into New York City, when I was an older teenager, I don't think it's open anymore. There was a Barnes & Noble on 6th and I want to say like 51st or something. And because we always were just hanging out near Rockefeller Center because that's all we knew about New York City, we always went into that bathroom. And it was a good bathroom. Multiple times I pooped in that bathroom. Multiple times.
I know New York City neighborhoods by like where the bathroom is. There. So in Tribeca, it's not there anymore. Or wherever. It's Tribeca or Soho. There was a Pearl River Mart that had a bathroom in the basement. They closed. That was bad.
Oh, I miss Pearl River Mart.
I know. Houston, the REI on Houston has a bathroom. Mm-hmm. There is a Barnes & Noble at Union Square that has a bathroom. Yeah. And then there is a J. Crew on 5th.
Oh, okay.
On 5th Avenue that has a bathroom.
In the Flatiron?
Yep.
You know, the Crate and Barrel in Soho on Houston?
Yeah.
There's a really good bathroom there.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you come to visit New York at some point when people are allowed to travel, go to the bathroom anytime you can. Mm-hmm. Because even if you don't have to go, you're going to need to go.
And wherever you live, like, you need to identify the best public bathrooms. Because, you know, when you're at the mall, don't use the regular public restroom. Go into Nordstrom's. Go into Lord & Taylor, the fancy department stores. They have nicer, much nicer restrooms than the regular mall bathroom.
You know it's a nice restroom if you walk in and it looks like you just walked into a living room.
Yeah, there's a seating area before the restrooms.
And like, who's hanging out there besides nursing mothers? It's like, I never see anyone just like luxuriating. I mean, I'm glad it's there for nursing mothers, but I wonder, does anyone just hang out there?
Sometimes.
You could.
Yeah, you could. You could bring a sandwich. Read a book.
Bring a sandwich.
So I just looked up the fear of a toilet. Paruesis is the fear of public toilets without any medical cause. Mm-hmm. Paruesis is also known as urophobia, a shy kidney, shy bladder, bashful bladder syndrome.
Oh, yeah. Some people can't go. Yeah. Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, you know, there's a lot of shame.
It's like your body reabsorbs it.
Resorbs. Kathleen, do you want to read the third email? Read Diane Keaton and Cheese?
Yes. Okay. By the way, I haven't looked at Diane Keaton's Instagram in a while. What has she been up to?
I don't know. What has she been up to?
Okay, so anyway, we got an email from Melissa. She says, "Hi, ladies. I'm your Dancing with My Dog to Mariah Carey songs. I choose to pay the laundromat." Bethany. Laundromat. She spelled it two words.
Okay.
She spelled it two words. I'm not crazy.
Kathleen, just if you're going backwards, Kathleen realized in the last episode that laundromat is one word. But now I wonder if it's not, because Melissa spelled it with two.
Okay. She says, "I choose to pay the laundromat to wash and fold my clothes. I went up 3 pant sizes and I'm not upset about it during 2020, friend." And she wrote, "I forgot which episode I heard this from, but Kathleen was talking about Diane Keaton holding up Sargento cheese and said, this is my favorite cheese."
Plus, Diane Keaton is just a pure human and I love her so much.
Diane Keaton was making tacos on her Instagram one night and she's like, "Sargento, this is my favorite cheese." And I'm just like, Diane Keaton, she's just like the rest of us.
She eats
pre-shredded Sargento cheese. Anyway, Melissa continues, "Well, tonight I went grocery shopping and I needed cheese for sandwiches. And usually I buy the store brand cut cheese from the deli. Well, I was listening to another episode of your podcast and I was grabbing some cheese and I looked up and I was like, ah, Sargento. So I grabbed that shit and to be like Diane Keaton and I put back my store brand cheese and I never bought Sargento cheese before, but I couldn't not get it this time. This made me laugh in the store and I thought to myself, I have to share this with the ladies. By the way, I'm glad I did because the Swiss cheese is definitely very soft. Sorry, Bethany, but I am here for it."
Oh, I hate that phrase. Can we stop being here for it and be enthusiastic in a different way?
She signed it, "Your new listener, binging all the episodes. I hope you read this on the pod so I can feel famous. Taste bud, Melissa." Love that.
Welcome, Melissa. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening and laughing to yourself in the grocery store with us.
My husband has something against getting cheese that's not from the deli. And I'm like, there's so many good pre-sliced brands out there. Like Target carries this cheese called Tillamook.
I love Tillamook.
Tillamook is really good cheese.
Comes in a rectangle. It's a little tiny rectangle. How fun is that?
I love a good Tillamook. I love a good Pepper Jack. Monterey Pepper Jack's so good.
I love cheese. Just love it.
It's like a little spicy. It's like cheese and then you get a little hint of spice. Mm-hmm. Man, I wish I had a lover that was like Tillamook. Tillamook Pepper Jack.
Kathleen?
Yeah.
You want to guess how these people died?
Okay.
So I looked up some people. Yeah. Here's how they died. It's a multiple choice. You don't have to guess.
R.I.P.
Although if you want to, you can. Mm-hmm. Number one, gentle listener, play along. Mm-hmm. A 50-year-old hunter named Stefan Winfrey was tracking a rabbit down its burrow on a New Year's Eve hunting trip.
Oh.
How did Stefan Winfrey die?
That rabbit had superpowers and killed him and was like, I deserve to live.
Okay, so I'm going to give you multiple choice.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. No, it's okay. A, he tried to shoot the rabbit, but the gun was backwards.
Oh, my God.
B, he shoved his head down the rabbit's burrow hole and got his head stuck.
No, that's
like when Winnie the Pooh got his head stuck trying to get honey.
Okay, yeah.
Or C, the rabbit bit him and it had rabies.
Good, the rabbit bit him and it had rabies.
Nope.
The gun was backwards?
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
He shoved his head down the rabbit's burrow hole, got his head stuck.
Stop it.
There may have been alcohol involved. By the way, these are all from themirror.co.uk/news/weird-news/freaky-deaths-19.
Don't put your head or hands in holes where you don't know what's in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's why cats have whiskers. You know, the whiskers help decide the width of their body and will their head fit through the thing. Yeah. We don't have whiskers.
We should have whiskers.
So we're not supposed to go through things.
Okay.
Here's another. Chef Peng Fan from Foshan, southern China, cut off a cobra's head and put it aside, using the body to make soup. He died roughly 20 minutes later.
Mm.
How did he die?
The head still had some life juice left in it, and it flew into the air and bit him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Actually, really?
The decapitated cobra head bit him 20 minutes after it had been cut off.
That's a good guess. Crazy.
Is that nuts?
A, I would never eat. I guess I can't ever. I mean, if the world ends and I'm starving. But right now, I would like to say that I would never eat cobra soup.
I mean, shout out to the first person who tried it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you get the venom out.
But if you're going to make soup like that, just put the head, a cobra head, under a bowl so it can't fly up in the air and kill you.
Yeah, yeah. I think he got like too close. I don't know how his hand got. That's upsetting for a couple of reasons.
It's like when you cut a zombie's head off, it still can kill you.
Can it?
Yes, because you have to like put a stake in the brain to make it die.
See, now I didn't know that. So that's good to know.
Zombie head, the mouth still moves and stuff, even if you cut off the body. Like a, what is it, a cockroach? A cockroach? They can live without their bodies. You cut off their heads and...
Kathleen, I had a big cockroach issue.
Oh, no. Recently?
Yeah. So I was cleaning out a big closet of mine.
Yeah.
And I picked up something.
Oh, no.
And there was a cockroach under it. And the cockroach seemed to be fairly alive.
No.
And so...
What did you pick up?
Well, no. So I got my vacuum cleaner. I was like, Bethany, you are strong and you are brave. And I got the vacuum cleaner and I put on the longest hose attachment so I could get the furthest away.
Yeah.
But it was the hose attachment that tapers at the end to like a chisel point.
Yep. I know that one very well.
But I was like, you know what? It's pretty thick and the cockroach doesn't look that big.
Oh, God.
So...
Was the cockroach too thick for your hose?
So I... got close to it, and just as I got close enough to it, I realized it's too big, and it goes, and I couldn't tell if it made it through or not, Kathleen. I couldn't tell if it made it through. And so I just kept the vacuum cleaner running, hoping that like enough suction would suck it in. But then I was like, I eventually have to put this thing away and I don't know if it's stuck in the hose attachment or not. And I didn't want to take off the hose attachment because then I would have to look in and it might just be there. And then it might jump out if it was in there. And so I left the vacuum cleaner in my apartment, hose attachment pointed to the ceiling, and left it there for about 12 hours. And then you know what I did?
Yeah.
I drank 2 glasses of wine, so I didn't know what was happening. And then I just put the vacuum cleaner away, and the cockroach was not in the hose attachment. So he is still currently in the vacuum cleaner cylinder, probably alive and doing just fine. And I have to figure out what to do next.
Yeah, if they can survive nuclear war, they can definitely survive being in your vacuum cleaner. Yeah,
there's it's plenty so funny. Of cat food in there for him.
You put that hose up in the air like they show in women in old movies, like when they're trying to get pregnant and their husband puts sperm in them, they put their legs up in the air so it drips down faster.
Also known as sex.
Oh, God.
Honey, you want to put sperm? Okay, let's move on. It's so awful. I hate cockroaches.
Yeah, me too.
I hate them. Mm-hmm. In 1988, an experienced skydiver decided to film himself jumping out of a plane.
Okay.
How did he die? Here's multiple choice.
Okay.
A, he was so focused on his camera that he forgot to pull the parachute cord.
Mm.
B, the camera slipped out of his hand on his jump and hit him in the head.
Ooh.
Or C, he packed the camera but forgot to pack the parachute.
I'm going to say that the camera slipped. Because think about video cameras from the 1980s.
Yeah.
They were big.
Yeah, they were like shoulder mounted.
Yeah. I'm going to say that the camera slipped out of his hands, hit him in the head. At that velocity, you're dead. Mm-hmm. You're dead.
He packed the camera but forgot to pack his parachute.
What kind of... idiot.
But
you're jumping out of a plane, you don't have a parachute? Are you kidding me?
I mean, when you introduce something that distracts you, it distracts you.
True.
His name was Ivan McGuire. He was 35. He forgot to pack his parachute.
Oh my God.
Awful.
Yeah.
We are all in some way Ivan McGuire in one way or another.
Something very similar happened to me when I tried to make cookies and forgot to put the flour in. So yep, there was just liquid. It was just baked liquid butter.
Yeah. You're just like Ivan.
Did you ever jump from a plane?
Yeah, once.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Yep, sure did. Woof. Scary.
Never again. Cold. I've seen too many Grey's Anatomy episodes where it's like, ah, oh, we have someone coming in. It's a parachute thing gone wrong.
I'd never do it again. Never, ever, ever, really? Ever, 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 ever. It's so cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, to be young and free.
Yeah, to be young and unafraid.
Okay.
Oh, here's the last one.
Okay.
In 1771, the king of Sweden, Adolf Friedrich... caused his own death by doing something that we've all kind of done. Did he A, gorge himself on too much food? B, do a version of Look Mom, No Hands, but in this case, he was riding a horse, which caused him to lose balance, try to grab a tree branch, get stuck in his stirrups, and fall under his horse?
Oh.
Or C, try to burn an ant with a magnifying glass? But in this case, the ant kept walking and the king, waddling in a crouch to follow the ant, ended up setting his own coattails on fire, which went up in flames super fast. Which way did he die?
I'm going to go with the last one because the vision of Adolf from Sweden with his coattails on fire is something that brings me a little bit of joy.
I pictured them as blue velvet, like a light blue powder velvet. No, he actually gorged himself on too much food. In this case, lobster, caviar, sauerkraut, smoked herring, champagne, and 14 servings of pudding.
You know, it doesn't sound like a bad menu if you remove that smoked herring. It sounds like a good menu.
I think it sounds awful. Lobster, caviar, sauerkraut, and smoked herring are all things I don't like.
Well, you don't like sauerkraut?
No.
Really? It's so good for your gut?
I don't know the purpose of it. I don't know what it is.
It's like
it's cabbage.
Do you like pickles?
Yeah. I like some pickles.
Sauerkraut. Like do you like kimchi?
I'm iffy about kimchi.
Sauerkraut is just European kimchi.
So
it's not just, as tasty, not as spicy, but like, you know.
It's cabbage.
Sour pickle. It's a pickle. I could eat sauerkraut warmed up. Just on its own.
I feel like I maybe have never actually tried sauerkraut because I can't picture the taste.
If you love pickles and vinegar, you will like sauerkraut.
I love pickles. I don't love vinegar. I love dill pickles. Is it like a dill pickle?
No, it's definitely like a sour vinegar more type. I like to mix it with tuna fish. Oh my God, sauerkraut and tuna fish is so good. Put a little ketchup in there. Oh my God.
That sounds awful.
So good.
Every year for Christmas, my grandma would put out a little dish of tiny pickles.
Yeah.
And every year, my sisters and I were disappointed because they were sweet and not dill.
I know. I hate sweet pickles.
What are you doing?
Why? What's the point? There's better ways to get sugar.
You have so many options available to you in the pickle aisle. And every single year, you're disappointing your entire family because you're putting these sweet pickles, which, by the way, have a really uncomfortable texture. So we're already giving you like a little bit of like, okay, let her pass.
I know.
We're going to eat these weird textured pickles. But then they're sweet. Every year.
I love just putting a jar of dill pickles into my food processor, blend, and then I just put it on stuff. Just chips, crackers, sandwiches.
Really?
Grilled cheese.
Is it
peanut butter?
Is it a juice or is it like a pickle pulp?
It's like a pulp. It's so good.
Oh, that's interesting.
I could gorge myself on so many things right now, and I'd be like, how much? He must have eaten so much. Did his stomach explode?
I think his stomach exploded.
Oh, God.
So what would your meal be? If you're like, okay, you know, to like save my family, I have to gorge for whatever. Yeah. There's a troll under the bridge, and he's like, you have to gorge yourself to save your family. So you do it. What are your foods?
Mac and cheese.
Yep.
Grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
Wine.
Yeah.
I do love a good chocolate pudding. Like Adolf.
Yeah.
And I'm going to add one more item. Martin's potato rolls. what would your list be?
Pizza. 7-Eleven pizza. Don't give me any of this gourmet, artisanal, blah, blah crap. I want 7-Eleven pizza that's been sitting out for a couple hours. So now it's got some burn marks on it.
It's a little crusty. Side eye. Girl, you're from New York, but okay, move on. Okay.
I love them. Shout out to the 7-Eleven workers at Oceanside. Okay. I want grilled cheese sandwiches like you. I want au gratin potatoes.
Yes.
I want French silk pie, cream cheese with cherries on top.
That's what French silk pie is?
No. I want French silk pie, comma, and also cream cheese with cherries on top, comma.
What's French silk pie?
It's like if you take chocolate mousse and put it in a pie crust,
and
then add whipped cream on top, and then chocolate shavings.
Oh, okay, good. I'm here for that. Okay.
Yeah. I'm here for that. And then, what else do I want? And then I want some freaking Doritos.
Oh God, I love a Dorito.
And some of those Pirate Booty cheese puffs.
Oh God, I love Pirate Booty too.
I wouldn't kick that out of bed.
No, hell no.
Yeah.
Sometimes I snack in bed. I don't think that that's such a big deal.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I do much weirder things than that. That is like one of the least weird. Some people they don't eat in the living room. I don't understand that.
You're wasting a perfectly good room to eat in. I eat in the shower, friend.
Yeah.
You should be eating in every room of your house.
I eat in the car. I love a good meal in the car.
Love a good meal. Yeah.
The cheeseburger in one hand, the steering wheel in the other.
I ate in the bath last night. That was lovely.
Wait, really? What did you eat?
I got this very nice bath tray for Christmas. So I can put like my computer and my phone and all of my things on it.
Okay. But Bethany, electronics hovering over water, not a good idea.
It's okay because they're on a bath tray.
No.
So it's fine.
No.
And I was craving sugar, so I bought a tube of marzipan paste.
Oh my God, I love marzipan paste.
Fucking love marzipan. And one serving size on the box is a panda. Because they mold a panda out of the marzipan, and then it says next to it, serving suggestion. I'm like, one panda of marzipan, please.
I love marzipan. I love, do you know what I love that is so underrated? They're so cheap. Tea biscuits.
I love tea biscuits.
Orange flavored tea biscuits.
I would like tea time minus the tea, please. Just bring the biscuits.
I buy them in the kosher section at the grocery store. It's like a whole sleeve of biscuits for 25 cents.
So good. So good. You know?
Yeah.
I just chew off a bite of marzipan, put it on a tea biscuit, sit in the bath, and write an essay on your computer.
And slip into the darkness as your laptop falls into the water.